Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah.
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. That's what you're listening to. Checking us out on TV as well. NBC Sports Boston. Here in our Town Fair Tire Studios, Felger and Maz on a Friday, an agenda-free Friday. It's me. It's Ted Johnson, Mike O'Brien. That's the team that has you here. And of course, as an agenda-free Friday, it's being brought to you by Neshoba Valley Ski Area. Why drive when you can ski, ride, or tube so close to home at Neshoba Valley Ski Area? For info, go to SkiNeshoba.com. And so special is this Agenda Free Friday. It's also being brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges, they don't. PlanetFitness.com. We've got a number of phone calls lined up, a lot to address as we continue to make our way through. I know that in the break, you and I continue to just mull over the world that is Twitter. A little something stuck out to you on the tweet machine there?
Yeah, you brought this to my attention, that Pro Football Talk has an article about the defensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Keith Butler. He was interviewed earlier in the week. The Steelers are playing the Cincinnati Bengals this week. Keith Butler was asked about his assessment of Bengals tight end Tyler Eifert, and this is what he had to say. He says, "I think he's very good. I think he's up there. He can get deep on you. He does a very good job of catching the ball downfield and all that stuff. So he's going to be a problem for us to cover." The only problem with that, Keith Butler, is that Bengals tight end Tyler Eifert has been on IR since September 30th of this year. So he hasn't been around for a while. And so for him to say that, you're just kind of like, it makes me think, you know what, if Bill Belichick, you know, he's got a guy that I think that does cuts out a lot of press clippings, you know, as far as maybe potential future opponents for the Patriots. And then he likes to gather information and see what guy's saying what on what team and what have you. I have a feeling that this article might get to his desk tonight, and he's going to look at this, and he's going to say, yep. That's why we always can beat the Steelers.
I mean, it's one thing
we never lose to the Steelers is because there's coaches on that staff like that have no idea the opponents and who's healthy and when they're playing them.
Stephen A. Smith, of course, famously just a week or two ago made the mistake where he just had all sorts of players wrong. Like, you know, these guys are out and these guys, and the city of the team, all of it wrong. But the dude's on TV.
Yeah.
Like, he's expected to talk about all sports all the time and know things right off the top of his head. So, you know, it was kind of a bonehead thing. But again, what does it matter? The dude's on TV. It's a different thing when the coach, who is theoretically preparing the game plan for this weekend's opponent in a must-win game for the Steelers, who I have this week been saying are eliminated, but they're not, apparently. Mm-hmm. And God, do I hate NFL playoff scenarios at this time of year, because you can't even come close to keeping track of everything that goes on. But they're still alive, and therefore must win for them. You would hope that the guy who's in charge of coming up with your defense knows who at least the major players on the other side of the ball are. Like, Tyler Eifert was not just some bit player for the Cincinnati Bengals.
He's a key cog for that team.
He was, and therefore his absence is, you know, notable a little bit, just a little bit. I'm no big fan of Mike Tomlin. I think that there's come a point with the Steelers where they are so invested in their "we don't fire coaches" thing that they just won't let this guy go, and I think that had he been on any other team, he probably would have been gone a while ago at this point.
Yeah, and I think Bill's probably sitting there, please don't fire him, please don't fire him, because whenever they meet up, other than this last game, you know, that they had, which was, you know, look, The Patriots, that was a bad effort. But they, for the most part, the Patriots have had the Steelers' number. My feeling is he looks at this stuff. If I were Bill Belichick, just for fun, I would watch Hard Knocks every year. And I would just watch the coaches on Hard Knocks on HBO. And I would sit back and I'd just say to myself, God, I'm good. I'm not worried, because there's some coaches out there that you just go, how the hell have they kept their job as long as, how did Mike McCarthy keep his job as long as he had? I mean, here's the thing. When you have Mike Tomlin, who's had Ben Roethlisberger as his quarterback for as long as he has, and to lose some of the games in the fashion in which they lose, boneheaded coaching decisions, some of the bad play, just some of the things that the players are saying, and in the off season, Ben Roethlisberger threatening to retire, a lot of divas on that team. He can't keep that team under control, man, and he never's been able to. I would think as an owner of a football team, that's the key part. Have your guys, make sure those guys keep everything buttoned up and tight. The Steelers guys, they say whatever they want without consequence, and they're just not a disciplined team, and we see that.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Yes.
Hey, Kevin. You're on.
Well, I think it's time for Bill Belichick to retire.
Okay. Why is that?
Well, he's had to find somebody else that can handle his salary cap issues. He's let too many darn players go.
Okay.
He's getting a weekend started early.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Bill Belichick, certainly if there's any beef that people have with Bill Belichick more often than others, it is Bill Belichick, the GM, right?
Yeah.
You know, we, the royal we, often complain about this player that he let go or that player that he let go. And I think, you know, honestly, more often than not, we're wrong. Like, oh, I mean, we are wrong as a group when it comes. That's not to say that there's no player that he's ever let go that it would have been nice for them to keep, and there are no decision that he's ever made that didn't work out. But more often than not, I mean, I think his drafting can be suspect, but I also think it's under a laser focus, and I think that perhaps if you looked at, you know, everybody's drafting, you would see that nobody comes anywhere close to it. Drafting is an unsure science, right? So there are places where you could criticize Bill Belichick. I don't think you want anyone else coaching this team right now.
No, you don't. You don't. And I think the big problem is a lot of times that Bill looks to draft guys for a certain role, right? And we don't see it, right? The fans, the rest of us, we don't see what he sees in a player. And so we see the big stars, we see the big names. We go, why can't we go get this guy? Why can't we go get that guy? Somebody that we all know and have seen perform. And understand exactly why they're being brought in there. Most times he brings guys in for a specific reason that we can't see what it is, and it doesn't maybe reveal itself until after they've been on the team a while. So Bill looks at the game, you have to understand this, so much differently than any coach I've ever had. And I had three great ones. Bill Parcells drafted me. I played for Bill for 2 years. I played for Pete for 3 years. And then Bill for the last 5 years. So, I mean, there's potentially three Hall of Fame coaches in my 10-year career. And Belichick, compared to Parcells and Pete, sees the game totally different. And the way he's been doing it, it's been working. So it is hard to criticize, but I think he just looks at players differently. It's because he has specific roles in mind for each one.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. Again, we are agenda free today. So Ted in Maine, he wants to talk to Ted.
Hi, Ted.
Hey, Ted.
Great show. I just want to tell you, one quick question for you. When you first come up, you spend a lot of time in the weight room, lifting weights, blah, blah, blah. And now it's for this stretch thing. When you look in the weight room and you see you guys lifting the weights and see other guys just stretching with his straps, the TB12 stuff, how do you feel about that? You know,
I'm glad you asked, Ted. By the way, did you get a workout in yet today?
Pliability. Yeah. I shockingly, I don't think I spent nearly as much time in the gym as you. I've been to the gym exactly 1.5 hour of this entire calendar year.
All right. Well,
and I nearly
there,
threw
buddy.
Up doing it. So
all right.
There you
go. Make it more of a priority, man. You got to take care of yourself. The gym is my salvation. I love it. I'm a meathead at heart. And Ted, I will say this football to me is it's still the primal, physical, demanding game that it was when I played. You don't hit as much in practice, so maybe you don't take as many hits, but you still need to do. You still need to have a strong base. You still need to do power cleans. You still need to do squats. You still need to do bench press. All those traditional lifts that I did, you still need to do. They're still very sports specific to football today. There's over the years though, you've seen techniques and you've seen it, the kind of sports
pliability and all of that.
You've seen kind of that industry really change and adapt, and for the better, But you gotta have power. You got to have strength. You still got to do all the traditional lifts plus the pliability stuff to have sustained success in this league. You can't just do one or the other. So, there's no substitute for going in there and putting the sweat equity into the weight room. That's how I turned myself into a football player. And that's most players kind of really, really hang their hat on their workouts and improving in that weight, because you can go and do the work in the weight room. You will see the dividends in the on the field for sure.
Listen,
specifically in football,
when you're as naturally fit and just cut the way I am,
you are chiseled, brother.
You don't need the gym. You just don't need it. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Hey, when we come back, Bob Soucy's going to join us. We're going to talk about this upcoming game this weekend right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob. Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's time for Hot Sports Takes with Bob Soucy. Yes,
when you hear that music, you know what it means. Bob Soucy joining us from the New England Patriots radio network, the voice of the New England Patriots. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you, Marshall. Tad, unaware that when that song plays, the person in that chair, usually occupied by Tony Maserati, is supposed to sing along with it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Sing and dance along
okay.
with it.
Okay, I'll dance. I won't sing. How's that? I'll do that. How's that? Where's Maz, by the way? Is nice. He somewhere tropical, probably, hopefully, warm?
I don't know. I mean, they go places. They don't tell anyone where
they don't
go.
Say?
I know that Jim Murray went off
top
to a Caribbean island.
Okay.
I know that Zoe went to Florida. But beyond that, I don't know where Felger and Maz got off to.
Well, they're big time. Maybe they got to be more discreet
yeah, they
and
don't
careful.
Tell
they don't want anybody to know where they are.
Parts
of the paparazzi.
Unknown is what Felger likes to say. So I have to tell you, Bob, discussing the Patriots this week, one thing we haven't really discussed or spent much time on is this actual game coming up. Most people, with the exception of Mike O'Brien over there, have it pretty much chalked up as an automatic win. Are we being foolhardy looking at it that way?
Well, I think you look at the quarterback, Sam Darnold, and there's reason for the Jets to be optimistic. He's a nice piece to build around, it looks like. He's played terrifically, I think, the last 2 weeks against Houston and then Green Bay. But he's going to go into this game without Jermaine Kearse now. Quincy Enunwa, two receivers, are down for the Jets. Eli McGuire, running back. They don't have a lot around him. The tight end, Herndon's a nice player, rookie mm-hmm. tight end out of Miami. But it's going to be hard, I think, for the Jets to score, even though they scored 38 against the Packers last week at home. But if the Patriots play well, the Patriots should be able to win this game. I don't want to say with relative ease, but I think the Jets are a team that can pose problems. They have a defense that can pose some problems for the Pats and Brady. They've got some good players. I think Adams is a terrific player at safety. The Patriots, though, ran all over the Jets in the first game, just as mm-hmm. they did against the Bills. So I think the Patriots go into this, if they take care of the ball, they should be able to control the game, much like the first meeting. But by no means do I think it's going to be a kickoff. I think I wouldn't be surprised if it's similar to the last game between these teams, where it's tight for a while, mm-hmm. And then the Patriots finally pull away to working margin in the final minutes. I think their approach is one that they have a sense of urgency. They're talking about this game as a playoff game, and it's very unusual. I don't know from your experience to hear Patriots players talk about a bye and playing with postseason implications on the line going into a regular season game, but that's been the talk this week.
I played in a game. It was 1996. We were playing the Giants in the Meadowlands. And we needed to beat the Giants. We'd won the division the week before at home, and we were going to play the Giants. And they weren't very good that year, 1996. And we were playing for a first-round bye. A lot on the line. First-round byes are huge. We go out there, and we're sleepwalking through the first half of that game. I mean, the Giants go up to like a 17-zip lead. And you can just see it slipping away. And the best halftime speech Bill Parcells has ever given happened at that halftime. This is all Parcells did, okay? So we have the division wrapped up. We're already in the playoffs. We need to beat the Giants that aren't very good that year at their place to get a first-round bye, and we're down 17-zip in the first half. We all gather around Bill, you know, for his instructions before we go out to take the field in the second half. He literally looks at us, shakes his head in disgust, turns and walks out the door. We won on the last play of the game. They don't score a point in the second half. Ben Coates catches the ball on the one-yard line, and then here comes everybody pushing him in, Dave Meggett pushing him in to score, you know, to win the game on the last second, and then we got our first round bye. Here's the thing. It does scare you a little bit if they think they have this thing wrapped up. It's an inferior opponent. But I do like the Patriots' chances because they are at home, you know, and they're a different team on the road and at home. So there's a lot at stake. You're right. But let me ask you, do you think with now that Josh Gordon is gone, that this team really needs to hang its hat on its running game? I mean, as much as Tom Brady's the greatest ever. He's got over 4,000 yards this year. He's the greatest quarterback to ever walk the earth. But that maybe this really needs to be more run-centric, this offense now?
Ted, it seems that way. I certainly have been someone who's believed that when James Devlin's on the field, whether they're running the ball or passing, they've been a better team. At least the second half of the season.
He likes to spark. That 21 personnel, they come in. 21 personnel. All of a sudden, it gets them going.
Absolutely. And he's a guy that they will flex out, and he'll attract a cornerback at times or even take a player away from the formation and give some opportunities in the passing game.
And he's just good enough catcher to keep him dangerous that way. Right?
So I think that this has been, going back to the Jets game in Week 12, this has been the identity that's developed for this team more than any other. And I think that, the Miami game, they came out and threw the ball extremely well, but they weren't able to sustain that through the second half of that game. I still think, though, as they get deep in the playoffs, they can't hang their hat solely on the running game. They've got to find a way to get Philip Dorsett going, to get Chris Hogan more involved in the passing game. Hopefully, Cordarrelle Patterson, with his knee injury this past week, limited in practice, can continue to be a multifaceted weapon for them. But I think for this week, and I think you could get by the divisional round, but can you beat a Kansas City or a Chargers team as you advance in the playoffs, expecting that from the Patriots by simply running the ball? Now, Seattle ran it extremely well against Kansas City. They control that game, mm-hmm. but they needed to score 38 points and make some terrific plays in the passing game to win at home.
We this week have talked a lot about the passing game or lack thereof this past weekend against Buffalo, and I've heard every theory, the ones I myself has espoused. It's Tom Brady's old, Tom Brady's hurt. I've heard the lack of tools for him to throw to at this point. And I've also heard a surprising group of people tell me that this is all just rope-a-dope. This is all all part of a big plan in which they spend 2 weeks making Tom Brady look like an inadequate quarterback with nobody to throw to. Also, they can enter the playoffs and all of a sudden he throws for a billion yards again. I don't necessarily believe that last one, but what is behind this, ineffective passing game such as it is right now?
I think it's multifaceted, Marshall. I think, when people talk to quarterback play, it's usually reflective of all the parts, whether they work together or not. I'm not sure how you see it, Ted. Tom, last week, I thought was out of sorts early in terms of some throws. Like, he turfed a ball on a double screen, threw a ball down and away, I think, in a situation where maybe he's feeling anticipating pressure in that game against the Bills. And he has, I think, this knack of living for another down, for another series, for another game.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like the Pittsburgh game, I think there are some throws you can point to late in the contest, the interception on the second to last series or the final throw of the game, that you say, well, he had a bad game. But I think overall in that game, he played pretty well, and he made some terrific throws at times during that game. You know, it looked like they were finding their stride, as I said, in the first half of the Miami game. They targeted Gordon just the right amount of times. They had four catches in that game, very effective. Everybody else contributed. And then late in the first half, there was that stumble in the wake of the Gronkowski touchdown, and Brady wasn't the same. The offense wasn't the same in the second half, and I think a lot of people wondered, okay, now is he hurt? But I think that it's a different, you know, it seems like it's a different factor each week with this team, and it's hard to put a finger on one thing or another that's really held them back offensively. I still think, though, that they're capable of developing into a good enough offense in the coming weeks. I know that probably sounds ludicrous, and it sounds like false optimism. Or
not when you're talking about the
faith.
Patriots.
But I think you're talking about
though.
The Patriots. Yeah. One of the things, you know, and I've had this view that you have, Marshall, that you know, this team has been disappointing, in a lot of ways. They certainly haven't lived up to the offensive expectations of people. But then I watched that play in which Edelman catches the ball, gets knocked down around the 15-yard line, rolls over the defenders, Poyer and Bush, and he gets up and he runs for a touchdown. And I think to myself, you know what? I would never bet against Tom Brady, Julian Edelman,
so true,
and Bill Belichick and the Patriots until the day is done, until the season is done. So I'm not going to count these guys out. I think they've earned that right, earned that trust that they're going to figure things out.
But, so go ahead.
I was just going to add, do you think, so are you buying into what you saw what the Ravens did to the Chargers? Do you think the Ravens, because a lot of people are thinking that that could be a potential opponent for the Patriots. Does the Ravens scare you at all? I know they have a great defense, but the way they're running the football and the way that quarterback moves in the pocket, does that potentially scare you if that's a matchup the Patriots will find in the playoffs?
I think that's concerning. And, you know, and going back to the question about the Jets, and you know, I failed to mention Robbie Anderson has developed a nice chemistry with Darnold. One of the things that, you know, I think is worrisome with Darnold's play is that he's mobile and very accurate, has a very quick release, and he has really thrown the ball extremely well the last two games and on the move. And we know the young mobile quarterbacks have posed problems for the Pats, and it's not like the guy they faced last week in Josh Allen, who really was a runner and an erratic thrower. In Darnold's case, he's mobile, and he can move around. He can pick up yards with his legs if he needs to, but more often than not, he's going to make some plays moving to create some throws for himself. So I think that you look at Lamar Jackson, another rookie quarterback, and not necessarily a thrower in terms of the number of attempts or the numbers accuracy-wise and whatnot, yardage-wise, as a guy like Darnold. But when he had to make a big throw against the Chargers, he did. It's hard to make a better throw than he did it to the tight end after Los Angeles had taken a short live lead. And I think the Ravens, their defense, Weddle, Suggs, the attitude they've always had. I know it's cliched around here to say Baltimore is not afraid to come into Foxborough, Gillette, and play the Patriots in a playoff game, but there's truth to it.
True.
It's truth.
When it all comes down
but
to
I,
it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What is your prediction for this game, I guess?
I think the Patriots will prevail. Like I said, I think it's going to be a game that it wouldn't surprise me if it's very similar to the first game, where it's taught for a while. Both teams, I think the Patriots will lean on the run again until the Jets prove that they can stop it. I think the big thing for the Patriots is keep Darnold in front of them defensively, not give up big plays to Anderson. And I think Gilmore has done a terrific job against him the last couple of years. So, you know, that's why, to me, Herndon's more of a concern. The tight end can be problematic, as we've seen with Indianapolis, for example, this year and some other games for the Pats. But I think the Patriots will eventually pull away.
All right, Bob Soucy, thanks for taking the time to come in. A week when Paul Perillo said he was too good for me, when Chris Gasper said he was too good for me. I'm guessing it's actually the call, the Ted Johnson, just the it's
that's
you.
Not
that's
it.
Who he's here
Bob's
to see.
Bob's a pro's pro, man. He was going to show up regardless.
Those guys would have made a lot more sense and provided far more valuable insight than I could, but at least I was here.
617-779-0985. I see a couple of you have been hanging on a long time, particularly you, Sean. We'll get to you right after this. It's the Felger Mass Program, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub headlines. The Patriots getting ready for their regular season finale against the New York Jets. Addressing the media today after practice, Tom Brady spoke about the Pats playing a full game on Sunday. A win against the Jets will give New England a first-round bye. The Patriots were without tight end Jacob Hollister for a second straight game practice, while offensive tackle Adrian Waddle was a new addition to the injury report.
In New York Jets news, they announced that Quincy Enunwa agreed to a four-year extension worth a maximum value of $36 million. Enunwa, however, will miss Sunday's contest, as will cornerback Morris Claiborne, wide receiver Jermaine Kearse, and linebacker Kevin Pierre-Louis. Boston Celtics opened their three-game road trip with a 127-113 loss to the Houston Rockets down in Texas last night. James Harden leading all scorers with 45 points. Celtics continue their road stretch tomorrow night against the Memphis Grizzlies. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. The Bruins fell to the New Jersey Devils 5-2 last night at TD Garden. Late in the game, David Backes called for an illegal check to the head on Devils forward Blake Coleman. We'll have a hearing with NHL Player Safety Department later today. The day after learning LeBron James would miss several games with a strained groin, the LA Lakers announced that guard Rajon Rondo had surgery to repair a ligament on his right ring finger and missed 4 to 5 weeks. Clemson will officially be without three players, including starting defensive lineman Dexter Lawrence, for the Tigers' college football playoff semifinal at the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic after B samples of the NCAA drug test also showed trace amounts of a banned substance. Yesterday, Saints tight end and former Patriot Benjamin Watson announced he would retire following the 2018 season. Watson earned a Super Bowl ring with the Pats in 2005, and Brady said that Watson had a great impact on the Patriots and every team he played for because of the person he is. These Sports Up headlines are brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island, now open at Twin River and Tiverton Casinos Hotels. If you know sports, bet on it. Details at sportsbetri.com. Those are Sports Hub headlines. I'm Mike O'Brien on your home for Boston Sports, 985 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
985 The Sports Hub.
It's the Felger and Mass program. We've been talking to each other a lot, so we're going to knock out some of your phone calls here on an agenda-free Friday. And as promised, Sean from Gardner, you're up first on the 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, man. How are you?
Oh, great. I'm just cracking a beer.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is for Ted. I'd just like to say it was a privilege to talk to you, and it's been great watching you on the radio and on TV.
Thank you.
It's good hearing from a real athlete for once.
I appreciate about that. I feel like I have some athletic sensibilities to me, but that's fine. You know,
thank you for the kind words.
617-779-0985. Kenny in Tewksbury, what's up?
Hey, what's up, boys?
What's up, man?
It's been a great Christmas. I got to talk to Troy Brown last week, now Kenny Jordan. It's unbelievable. Cool. What a great Christmas, you know?
Thank you,
man. Hey, I just want to say, usually when the Pats lose, they really, they don't lay an egg. They usually just beat themselves. But this year, it seems like, it's been more often they've beaten themselves. It just seems like, they're usually in it, towards the end, and they, they'll pull it out. Or, like I said, they'll just beat themselves,
I think the Pittsburgh game is a primary example of that. I look at that game and I say that has historically been a game that they win, and they win going away because Pittsburgh gave them every chance to do it, and New England just gave it back to them.
It was shocking to see. I feel like for two-thirds of the season, the majority of the football season, the Patriots, I think, were the least penalized team, or they were up there as one of the least penalized teams. And then in the Pittsburgh game, I think there was like 14 penalties. A lot of pre-snap penalties that were just very uncharacteristic of a Patriots team. Throwing an interception in the red zone at a critical moment in the game, at the end of the game, like Tom did, was just something completely different than we're used to seeing. There are concerns. There's a lot of things to be concerned about. And we saw there's the Miami game, the Pittsburgh game, very much you can kind of pick apart and just go, okay, maybe this is the beginning of the end. But is anybody better than regrouping, recalibrating, refocusing than the New England Patriots? No. And so even with all the issues they've had over the past 3 or 4 weeks, when it comes to game planning and when it comes to winning in big moments, particularly at home, no one's better than the New England Patriots. So there's a lot. It's kind of like one of those, liken it to maybe the bullpen issues with the Red Sox. Oh, we're going to be in trouble. Well, then they figured it out in the playoffs. The bullpen wasn't a problem in the playoffs. So that's in the Patriots' DNA, is to fix whatever has been going wrong. There's still another regular season game left, and in the playoffs, Bill can still kind of fix what's going on, particularly on offense. A lot of those procedural penalties, they can be fixed. The mistakes can be fixed. So, it's hard to bet against the Patriots, particularly at the end of the season when all this data, all this information is out there for Bill Belichick to game plan and have that team best prepared when they go in and play.
And I think one of the things that stands out this season, because if you take a step back, I mean, here they are. They've already clinched the division. They've clinched the spot in the playoffs. They're more than likely to have a first-round bye. So all in all, it's a pretty good season that most NFL cities would want. But when you talk about figuring it out, the Patriots have typically done that in like October and November, right. And they turn a corner and then they just roll through December, roll into the playoffs. So the fact that they've had these stumbles, losing two in a row in December is something that they hadn't done, and I don't know how long, but a very long time. And I think that, and the fact that part of the struggle has been Tom Brady in the passing game, I think those are the reasons why this season stands out.
I think if there's, you say, look, you're normally not struggling at the end of this, at the end of a season for the Patriots, but they are this year. Partly because Gronk, he's not the same player that he was at the beginning of the season, I don't think, right now. So there's a lot of things that you could do with Gronk for two-thirds of the season, but it seems like in the last 3 or 4 weeks, in the Miami game, it wasn't that long ago, and he had a ton of catches and huge production in that game. But since that, he's kind of been non-existent. So you have to adjust to that. So whatever is going on with Gronk, for whatever reason, he's not as much as the game plan in the passing game. And so you got to adjust to that. Josh Gordon is no longer on this team anymore. You have to adjust to that. So those were two big cogs on this team, you know, early in the season, midway through the season, that aren't there. And we know with Josh Gordon and with Gronk, maybe isn't the same player. So it's had to make adjustments. At this time of the season, unlike any other season, I think, because of those two factors.
Tommy Lee and Clinton, welcome to the Sports Hub.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good, good. So can I talk to Teddy?
Yeah, go for it. He's right
here. I'm here, bud.
Okay.
What do you got for me?
Thank you. I just wanted to say that Teddy Johnson and Teddy Bruschi, thank you for your service. It was the best time. Patriots service, and I love Felger and Mash. And my question was to see, does he think Tom Brady is hurt or the offensive line the problem?
All right. Tom Brady hurt?
I don't think he is. I mean,
really? You're in a very small group of people at this point then.
But, I mean, have you asked him?
No, he's been asked, and he said no over and over and over and over and over again. Right. So that much is true. He claims no.
Let me ask you this, Marshall. What are the two things people reference when talking about Tom Brady being injured? What are the two moments that people reference?
The way he's falling away from the passes.
Okay. That's okay. There's three. So that's one. But when did we speculate that maybe his knee got hurt?
Oh, in the was it the Tennessee game?
Yep. And then what happened in the Miami game?
And then when he had the mysterious falling down to the turf.
So the mysterious falling down in the turf in the Miami game. Yep. The Tennessee catch, stumble, run, fall on the ground play.
Glorious play.
And then the spinning out of his throws. Yep. That's the three main pieces of evidence that paint this picture that Tom Brady's hurt. It's not enough for me.
Okay.
It's not enough for me. So what explains the falling away? All right. Well, I said this yesterday. The falling away on his throws, I've seen that happen to older players. It happened to Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning stood in there strong. You never blitz Peyton. He didn't feel you pressure him. He'd stay in there. Boom, ball's out. I feel like, you know, later in his career, you would blitz him because he was rattled back there. He wasn't seeing the field as much, but he would spin out of his throws. The same thing happened to Drew a little bit towards the end of his career. So I just think it's something that becomes almost like an involuntary response. The older you get, Marshall, the more I think Tom's thinking about not getting injured. And that happens to most quarterbacks the older they get in this league.
So he's old, not injured. That's almost more concerning.
He's getting older. How about that? He's not old. He's getting older, and that tends to happen, I think, with quarterbacks.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. We have another giveaway coming up, so you want to stick with us through the break, and we'll be right back here on the Felger and Mass program.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Friday afternoon, an agenda-free Friday afternoon. It's me, Marshall Hook, along with Ted Johnson, taking your calls right up until 6 o'clock. And you know what I did? I promised before we went to commercial that we'd give somebody something, and we're doing that now. Caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to ski Neshoba Valley and a $50 gift card to their Outlook restaurant. Why drive when you can ski, ride, or tube so close to home at the Neshoba Valley ski area? So again, caller number 10 to the contest line, not the caller line.
People big difference. Still
be, well, yeah, you can call the caller line.
No one's going
to We'll talk to you, but you're not going to win anything. You're not going to win anything but the opportunity to talk to us, which for some of these people is the biggest prize of all, like John in Boston, who, like most of the callers, wants to talk to you. John, welcome.
Hey, John.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Big
Teddy Johnson, legend. How you doing, you animal?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing, man?
You know, just getting through the day. Everything's good over here. Happy New Year if I don't get to say it at the end.
Same to you, pal.
Thanks, man. So I got two questions for you, then I'll hang up. I just did my own little combine today. I threw up 225, 26 times. Not bad. Personal record.
That's damn good, buddy. That's
not
really
bad.
Good.
You know, I'm pumping iron up. I'm trying to get it in. But also, I always wanted to know who your favorite rival was, because I'm actually I fight all the time. I always usually call Beetle and Zoe. We talk about my hate day and how I still get down. I can't wait to fight over parking spots this winter. But I always thought it'd be fun to lay a beating on Pete Carroll. I always wondered who you like to throw down with. I'll listen.
All right, John. I love it. If, a meathead like me, man. yeah, I love that, man. You know, it still feels good to throw up some weight, man. Throw up some bench. Heavy weight on the bench, so good for you, buddy. Keep it going. You know, my biggest rival, you know, when I played, it was Peyton Manning. You know, like as far as just wanting to just beat this guy. I remember when Peyton Manning came in the league in 1998. Remember how this, he'd always complain about not getting the calls, and he'd always just do this with his hands, like, can you believe it? And I just want to shut that guy up, you know. And I feel like we would have some early success in the game, and he would be, you could see him being down and down, but he always came back. You could never kill Peyton Manning, never kill him. And that guy, it didn't matter if there was still time on the clock, he was still going to try and put points on the board. So that's one of the guys. But you know, the guys that I would literally gear up for, was always the Denver Broncos. Going against that offensive line, Terrell Davis. I got my dobber up for that team every single time. I took it personal. I always got my dobber up, and I got my backup to play the Steelers and Jerome Bettis. And we have a crackpot research group back there. Maybe look this up. I don't think Jerome Bettis ever had 100 yards on those teams in the early 2000s and even in the mid-90s. So we took a lot of pride in playing in Jerome Bettis. But the biggest challenge that I always really wanted the chance to see how you do against was against the Dallas Cowboys. And Nate Newton and Larry Allen and Moose Johnson and Emmitt Smith and Michael Irving and Troy Aikman. Those guys, because I grew up an Oilers fan. My love of football started with the Houston Oilers. My dad would take me out to the he had season tickets to the Oilers. So I was always a hater of the Dallas Cowboys. And so I always got my dobber up for the Cowboys whenever we played them. And we lost to the Dallas Cowboys in 1996, 12-6. We didn't lose a game again after that until the Super Bowl against the Green Bay Packers. You talk about moral victories, that was the quintessential moral victory. We went toe-to-toe with the Dallas Cowboys in that game. Even though we lost, it really propelled us the rest of the way. And there was a play in there. If you do you remember a play that Adam Vinatieri had?
I don't. I mean, although I remember any number of Adam Vinatieri plays, not from that game.
What was it? It wasn't because he was kicking the field goal through the uprights. He chased down the Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker was on that team.
This was referenced just this week because the guy, there was a, I don't remember what team it was, the punter for some team just this past weekend.
Laid a guy out
in a serious tackle, and people made reference to Adam Vinatieri versus Herschel Walker.
One of the greatest individual plays I've ever seen a player make. You know, maybe he had the angle. I don't care. Herschel Walker, I mean, he busted through that line, and he was down the sideline, and here comes number four running his little heart out, catches him about the 5-yard line, knocks him out of bounds. And then we keep them out of the end zone. They kicked four field goals that day. But I'll never forget Adam Vinatieri chasing down Herschel Walker in that game.
So this is one of the things I made reference to in our pre-show email. Like, you know, this weekend it's the Jets. And the Jets and Patriots for some period of time have been considered rivals. And, you know, fans really get up, even if they're kind of in disparate places in terms of their actual abilities on the field right now. People seem to really still hate the Jets. And I hear sometime from fans that they're kind of disappointed that the players don't seem to be as invested in these rivalries as the fans are. So I ask you, like, how often are these rivalries that the fans get excited about actual things for the players, or how often is it just, you know, you guys are, you know, shaking hands at the end of the game and, you know, it's just laundry?
I think it's more the latter. That I think people hate to say that, but because a lot of times with football, it's kind of like it always is this us against them mentality. I mean, we can, you know, what is it, the coyote and the sheepdog? They're like, hey, Joe, hey, Phil, you know, and they're friends going to work. They clock in, and then they clock out. Hey, Joe, hey, Phil, you know, and then they're friends again. That's kind of how football is, you know. So, I mean, I think in the AFC North, there's some genuine hate there. I mean, at least, you know, the Steelers and the Ravens and, you know, the Bengals when they were better. But, you know, for the most part, it's kind of like we're all in this thing together. And I think there's guys aren't on teams long enough to, you know, kind of have like real deep-seated rivalries. You know, there's influx of guys going in and out of these different teams, so there's not this sustained kind of hatred because guys come and go in this league. But when I was playing, I'd say our rivals were the Colts, the Steelers, and the Broncos. Those were our rivals. But the Jets hate, do you know where that comes from? It's all the Bills.
Well, Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells, yeah.
Okay, like, and how ironic that they both go be head coaches of the Jets. I would get scouting reports on the Jets when Parcells was our coach, Al Groh was my D coordinator, greatest D coordinator ever, besides Romo Crennel. And we would get, I can't really say, but there would be a disparaging word towards the Jets in the scouting report, and I was just like, where's this come from? Is this because they were with the Giants? I don't know. But those coaches, you're right, did not look fondly on the Jets. And ironically enough, both Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick for a day were the head coaches.
I was going to say, a very short time was Bill Belichick the head coach of the Jets. 617-779-0985. That's the phone number here on Felger and Maz. 2 hours in the books, 2 hours yet to go here on an agenda-free Friday. And we'll get to your calls and more right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.